Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Rhett McDaniel, educational technologist here at the center. In this episode, we join the panel as they discuss what surprised each of them most when they started teaching, and they share ideas for what they would have done differently if they knew then what they know now. Panelists you'll hear from include Gil Gawalda, Assistant Professor in the Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences, Jennifer Holt, the Director of the Vanderbilt Writing Studio, and Lee Wadsworth, Lecturer in the Department of Psychology and Human Development.
I don't know about the second part yet, but I had a very quick thought about the first part of your question, and that's to say, when I got into the classroom, I was under the impression that I needed to know everything in order to be there and be legitimately there. And it took me a lot of time in the classroom to figure out that what I really needed was just to be really well prepared to explore the things that we were looking at in the course together. But I did not need to know everything there was to know on my topic in order to feel comfortable being an instructor. And so maybe that is an answer to the second question.
For me, one of my things was the courses that I have taught over time are about student motivation, assessing students, how we approach teaching so that students learn best. So it's all about good teaching practices. And I know that's not everybody's field, but that was my field. And I had to go, oh, I'm teaching you how to motivate students, but am I motivating you? And I'm teaching you how to assess your students, but am I assessing you well? And, I mean, it was a struggle at first to go, I know all of this, but can I do all of this? And that was kind of my struggle. And I think if I had known right off that it was a learning process for me as well, I think that the stress levels would have been a little bit lower, and thus the teaching would have been a little bit better on the front end if I had kind of known that balance of, I don't have to know everything, but I need to know how to do what I'm doing well. And if I had found something like the Center for Teaching early on, the resources I could have had that I was looking for but didn't know where to find when I was early into teaching would have been really nice, would have made my life easier.
I guess what struck me is what I just said, that even though the role of a teacher when you have a faculty status really changes in a significant way, and so I really struggled with this distance from the students, and so I kind of went against the advice I was given, and I tried to get closer to the students, and I still try to do that to some extent, keeping the boundaries reasonable, but try to get them a little closer, a little more intimate, so that I can have a closer dialogue with them. I think this really has helped me, and I guess surprisingly, it has gone sort of against the general wisdom or the advice to sort of keep your distance, keep your boundary kind of thing. Really hasn't, that advice has really not worked for me. So over the years, I really have tried to make it as informal as possible, as close as possible, and that I think that has helped my teaching. I think the other thing that surprised me was how much should I worry about teaching evaluations. You know, we are in a university that actually this is watched, and I think it's kind of funny. We take what's good for them, and we don't take what's not. You know, it's not that we only take the good things they say, but there is good and bad reactions and good and bad evaluations, and we really have to read those carefully, and sort of I have to find myself reading and trying to get what I want from it, and then trying to put myself in the administrator position and see what will they think about this, you know, when the students write death, 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 death as one of the comments, then you wonder how will that be received, you know, without a context. So that's been surprising. There were good ones too.
I have one more thought, and it's that I didn't I was very stressed out about teaching at the start because it was an emotional roller coaster for me. So a good day was a really good day, and a bad day would be a really bad day. And so it was constantly sort of up and down in response to whatever had happened in the classroom on that particular occasion. And that goes away. So I would have liked to have known that, that was not a surprising response, and that eventually it does subside the more experience you have.
One last thought that I was thinking was that you can't please them all. That's a bit of a people pleaser when it comes to my profession. And you get the bad reviews, and sometimes you're like, oh, I know exactly who wrote that, you know, mm-hmm. And it's like, it just doesn't work for everybody, and you've just got to take that and know that you can make your teaching better, but you also have to be comfortable in who you are as a teacher. And so it's that balance of, I haven't gotten death just yet, but you have to take the negative with the positive and understand where that's coming from with context and what all of that actually looks like in the when you play it out with your teaching in the next semesters.
And I have one more thought. One of the strikes me every time, and I don't know what to do about this one, is how little do I understand the students, right? I'd really like to understand them better, but every group is different, every student is different. It's really hard to get in their mind. So you're doing the same thing year in, year out, give or take. And with some groups, it works great. Some groups just doesn't work. Some people you can really relate to. You can really get into interesting discussions. Others is just like difficult. And, you know, it's not necessarily their fault. It's just like the communication sometimes just not very effective. So it's just a part of like maybe what I do about it is that's one of the things that is there. And you just get comfortable with not happy, but somewhat comfortable.
It's not as low of a low.
Right. It's kind of like, well, that's a bummer, but you don't get depressed about it anymore.
Another student question involved teaching strategies that have been effective, either for generating student learning or increasing their own efficiency. We join the panel again as they respond.
I have found lectures to be terribly boring. I figure once I'm bored, they've been bored like 45 minutes ago. And so I have from day one attempted to diminish my lecturing. Like you, I'll talk for hours. So I kind of have to rein myself back in. I use a lot of group work, discussion. I'm lucky that I don't teach large lecture classes, so that is more of a possibility. And I always have a tea in the classroom, so that if we are doing small groups and I have, let's say, 50 students, which still isn't a whole lot, but still I can manage those groups well. Because I have someone managing with me. So a lot of discussion, a lot of the, so what do you think? You know, well, you ask me a question, well, I'm going to ask it right back, and your classmates can answer you. So really letting students play off of each other, peer-to-peer interaction. When someone gets it, I need them to teach it to someone who doesn't know it. And so we're kind of doing that in the classroom. So like you, I don't feel like I am this, oh, I have all of this knowledge, open your brains and let me give it to you. But let's discover this, and I'm going to give you the tools to do so and kind of facilitate that and guide you. But that's where you need to be learning. That's not where I need to be just dumping information into your, you know, brain, so to speak. So a lot of that discussion, peer interaction, peer teaching, small group type work is the way that I have found works best with the classes that I teach, which again are not 150 students. So that makes a big difference.
I'll add to that just a quick point about efficiency, and that is that I found it helpful to think about each class by really working hard to develop good questions that might then make for lots of interesting conversation. On the days when I haven't done that, it's really obvious because things will sort of peter out quickly or dwindle, or I'll be sort of working my way slowly into whatever the point is that I want to make. So having good questions that I think will generate interest and discussion, and also having maybe just a point or two that I want to be sure we get to explore thoroughly in a class, those things have helped me prepare more efficiently, I think.
Well, I actually happen to lecture quite a bit. There are many reasons for that, and we don't need to belabor on all of them. One of them is evidently my own personality. The other one is if my lectures are boring, reading the books is even more boring.
Absolutely.
And I think that the books, most of them, miss the point. And so part of why I feel I have to expose the subject is because I really don't agree with the perspective that the books, textbooks, give on the subjects that I teach. So that's part of the problem. So practices that have helped me in that, one is close to yours, is have a take-home point for every lecture, or maybe a couple. So what is the point of this? Why are we're not just talking about stuff. What is the conceptual advance of this lecture? And if there isn't one, maybe you shouldn't be giving this lecture. You should be giving a different one. So I think that really has helped me decide what's important and what's not. Is there a conceptual advance in here, or is this some foundation for a conceptual advance that we're going to have? The other thing that has helped me is it was really only after I got to Vanderbilt that I understood that the students come to college, they don't understand the scientific method. They don't understand how do we come up with all this stuff. They just think, you know, you tell me, I understand what this stuff is more or less, and I just repeat that. And so one of the things that I have really tried in my teaching in general and in the lectures as well is sort of work through how. So I asked a million times in my lectures and lab, how do we know it? Where did this come from? Where did we take this from? What do we do? How can we go about solving this problem? And for me, at least, very easy to do that because that's my day-to-day on research. How do we come up with new ideas? How do we change the way we think? So I think that makes it more exciting, you know, and students really get into that of, how do you know that? You know, and it gets to, eventually for some students becomes a problem because they want to know how do you come up with everything. And so at some point it's like, we don't go there. Like, that's the chemist. The chemist will do that. We kind of, some things we have to take for granted, right, or more or less. So there is, but I think those somewhat annoying moments are great moments in which they're really getting to understand how we do these things. And so I think that really has helped engage them, and they really got another sense. The other thing I do is try to give them some role. I mean, I tend to be sort of a theoretical, like abstract things, and students sort of like, who's this odd guy talking about all this stuff, getting all excited about the symmetry of whatever, right? So one of the things I do in my classes is this why do we care moment, and students have to prepare. They can only do it once or twice in the semester, and they come in, they tell something vaguely related, more or less related to what we're talking about. But it's great. They actually are outside the class thinking about things that are how to relate that to their life. And some days are great. You know, they come up with some stuff like, how did you think of that? I'm thinking, you know, and they come up with some great examples. So sort of engage them and participate in any way possible. And it was really a struggle early on to get them engaged. And these things have really helped.
In this last question for the panel, an audience member asked about reaching students in large classes, specifically when there's such a wide variety of students in many classes. The panel discusses strategies for getting to know students and connecting with them in and outside of class.
Up to this point in my experience, I want to say you can't. or that you are sort of making guesses based on the information you get from students. I mean, sometimes there are students who distinguish themselves and demand your attention in varieties of ways, and you have to figure out what to do about that. But sometimes you're kind of fictionalizing the group and setting possibilities for them and hoping that they all kind of join you.
Well, I think that was going to be my comment. It's very easy to get hooked on the ones that talk and sort of forget the ones that don't talk. And that's a very dangerous path. And so part of what I try to do is I ask a lot of questions and I try to get them to speak. I basically call them on. You know, if you don't talk, I'll ask you a question. So I even, a couple years ago, it was a fairly quiet group, so I had this joke. I said, the questions only get more complicated as we go through the lecture, so answer early so that I don't call you when the answers are really hard, you know? But I do choose somewhat. I choose to care for the ones that care. You know, so when I realize the students, whether they're doing well or not, whether they're talking or not, if they care, if they're putting the time, then I give my time to them. If they don't care, they don't pay attention, they're texting during class, I'm okay with that. I just don't care as much about them.
I
in the first couple weeks of school, I always, and your summer's going to be a little different because you're on a crunched time frame, I always try to meet with them one-on-one. And some of them despise it. Why do I need to talk to you? But just like a quick, even if it's just after class for 2 minutes, hey, tell me about yourself, what's your major, where are you going in life, you know, where you're from, whatever. First day of class, I know all of my students' names by the time they walk out of the door. And I think that makes a big difference. So that the quiet ones, and they are sometimes like, I don't know if you're just shy or if you're just really uninterested, but if I have that one-on-one time with them, I can figure out which one it is. And I'm with you, you're an adult, you get to choose whether you're interested or not. And if you're not interested, just don't interrupt people who are interested. Now, I'm going to try my best to make this really fun and exciting and motivating for you, but it just might not kind of, you know, hit your passion, and that's fine. Not everybody's going to love your course, and it is what it is. But I think getting to know them one-on-one helps you to know, are you shy? Are you disinterested? Are you disengaged? You know, kind of what's going on with that.
The audio excerpts you've just heard were recorded during the opening panel entitled Why Does Teaching Matter? At GradStep on January 22, 2011. The panelists were candid in their responses to audience questions about teaching and the role it's played in their careers. GradStep is held in January each year and provides workshops and discussions on teaching, learning, and professional development issues across the disciplines. You can find out more about GradStep by visiting the program section of the CFT website. You can also view the show notes as well as leave comments or questions about this episode by visiting cft.vanderbilt.edu/blog/podcasts. If you'd like to share your thoughts on this topic, we encourage you to stop by our website and join the discussion. Vanderbilt instructors are also welcome to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT teaching consultant. Thanks for listening to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast. I've been your host, Rhett McDaniel.